Hi, team. Welcome to the Escape Podcast for Star Wars The Old Republic. This episode, you'll hear about the news, Seema's high-end crafting, and we open a holocron about DPS, and maybe talk about why elevators are the most dangerous technology in the galaxy. As usual, we have an astromech standing by to record this and get dumped into deep space to find his way to you. Hi, EPC-05. What is the Escape Pod safe for atmospheric reentry? Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. Circa's all about safety and their equipment, right? You will be fine. Hi, Seema. How's it going and what have you been up to?
It's going really well, although I'm starting to feel sorry for our poor little astromech.
Or the series of astromechs. Shh, don't yeah, say or can be sad.
Well, let's see. I mean, I have many things to say about what I did this week, but first I want to say I went to Hoth just so I could ride around in the base on my speeder because I used to get so annoyed that I couldn't do that I had to run around. And I'm never, ever going to let you pick out what's important from the patch notes again because you didn't find that as an important thing
you
to say last
right.
week.
Right. Yes, yes. I missed that one. You're absolutely correct. And I took advantage of it this week myself. So there you go.
And I also want to say we did our normal ops this week. I know you're going to touch on that too, but I wanted to talk about our 16-man, which we do on Wednesday nights. We went into, we were missing a handful of people, not the least of which was one of our tanks and our fearless leader, Makia. So we thought we'd just do something easy. So we were going to go Zerg through hard mode EC. We thought we could just blow through there with 12 people. And we found, hey, no, you can't really do that. At least we couldn't. We might have had the raw DPS for it, but the way that the fights are, we just didn't have the right coverage to get it done. So we started pulling people in from general and pugging people. And it actually, for me anyway, turned out to be a pretty fun night. We pulled in all these people and then it was pretty much time for us to quit for the evening, but we did get to meet some people and it was an interesting experience.
Yeah. By the time we started, we only had about an hour. And it was the tanks, because on the tanks in hard mode, there's those the four shielded groups of adds that form. So at first, we tried to do that with just the DPS we had, and then we're running back and forth between those two groups of DPS, and you know, and everybody had. When was the last time we did that? I don't even know. It's been months. So you know, it was a mess.
Lesson learned. I mean, we thought we could Zerg EC and basically EC Zerged us.
Yeah.
And then in our on our Taco Harder group, which is our group where we try to do the hard mode stuff, where we were working on Titan 6 in hard mode scum and villainy, almost getting it to, we got him down to, you know, under 10%, like 5 or 6% a couple of times. We just needed to last a little bit longer or get a little bit more DPS out. So that got me to looking at my gear and see if I could squeeze out a little bit of extra performance. And yes, that launched me into doing a bit of crafting this week. I actually bought three advanced aptitude mod 31s off the GTN. This was after having bought one with, the bottom off the GTN. And they're about $1.5 million each. So that was a little bit of an outlay there. And I bought them one at a time and I was reverse engineering in between. And oh, by the way, if you decide to try and do this, don't forget when you buy them off the GTN, you have to put them in your gear first, apply them, and then rip them out again, because otherwise you'll be able to reverse engineer them, but you won't learn any schematic. So I was buying them one at a time, put it in my gear, reverse engineer it, no schematic. Buy another one, put it in my gear, reverse engineer it, no schematic. And on the third one, I did get the schematic. So I went through and made a bunch of mods for my Sork, the level 72 mods, willpower power mods. And the mats for those include the mass manipulation generator, the vial of, well, I just call it vial stab when I'm searching for it, but the the vial of stabilization of isotope 5 or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And the equalizer thing. So a number of those I had, a number of the equalizers just from greeting on stuff in ops. When we do the little mini bosses that drop the crafting materials. But I basically bought everything else, the mass manipulation generators, manipulator generators, whatever they're called. You can buy those off the GTN. They're around 500K a piece. The biggest variable I found were the vials, because sometimes you can get them for 50K. Tonight I looked and they were 100K. So maybe that was because I was buying them. The price went up. But you can also buy those with basic comms. So if you have a little crap ton of basic comms sitting somewhere, you can buy the vials off the basic comm vendor in the McKeb station.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So after I did that, I decided, okay, now I've got all my 72 mods. And I have a number of the 72 armorings too, and a few 72 enhancements. But, you know, I'm a completionist, so I wanted to look at doing the enhancements too. And the enhancements were actually a little bit different story, because the gear that you can buy with Ultimate Comms has an enhancement in it for me that's not as attractive stat allocation as the enhancements that you can get with the Ultimate, not the Ultimate, but the tokens that drop for that level of gear. So I had to buy those enhancements off the GTN, and there was only one or two for sale at a time. So I was actually watching the GTN and trying to snag whenever there was one for sale. And the one I was particularly looking for was called Quick Savant, which is power and alacrity, which is good for me because I'm trying to dump a little bit of crit and surge, but it has more power than the other power and alacrity one. So don't be fooled by the one that's called Savant. You want Quick Savant if you're going for power and alacrity. So I finally got enough of those, ended up doing the exact same thing. I would buy one, put it on my gear, reverse engineer it. The only difference was I had to wait until someone else would put one up on the market for me to buy it. But I finally got that third one, not the third one, but I finally got the one that I was able to reverse engineer and learn the schematic. So now I'm working on enhancements. So that's my crafting saga. And I'm much poorer now.
Yeah, well, I rarely whine about things in the game, but I know you know that I whine about my experience in trying to reverse engineer. I think it was level 50 even. I don't know what it was. It was a while ago, mod on my Cybertech, and I bought like 5 million credits. And this was back at level 50. I bought 5 million credits of whatever mod I was trying to reverse engineer. And I bought every single one there was and never got it. Never reverse engineered it. Reverse engineered like 9 of them. So then I gave up and decided I was never doing that again.
So I'm glad you got those. There's something so sad too when you're reverse engineering and you're watching the bar go across and you're thinking, oh, maybe this time. And then it's like, bloop, one Mithra.
Exactly. One Mithra. Yeah, it could have been, a million credits worth of stuff, but yeah, you get one Mithra. Good job. So yes, I did not reverse engineer anything this week.
Well, I figured, what's the money for if it isn't for spending it on something?
Yes, this is true. Yeah, I'll talk at some point what I do with my credits. Mostly I just save them all up and then I spread them all over my mattress and my ship and roll around in them. No, I don't know what I
do. All right, so what have you been up to this week?
My Marauder is level 24 and he is awesome. He is pretty fun to play. I feel a little bad because I have a Juggernaut that was 18, and those are the only two warrior classes that I haven't leveled up yet. And my Juggernaut had this, he had, I think it was from the Requel event, it was the Sand People Legacy armor that you could get. I think it's the blood armor from the Sand People Legacy. They're both strength. He was level 18. He didn't have defense stats in him yet. So I got my Marauder up and I stole all that armor. Now, every time I go back to my Juggernaut, he's naked in his ship and I feel a little bad. So I don't want to keep that armor on my Marauder because I want my Marauder to look like a badass Marauder. So he's going to get some hooded cool thing. I got to get there quick enough. I think I need to be like level 35 for the cartel armor that I want to get for him. But I got to hurry up because I feel bad about my Juggernaut being naked. So anyway, he's been very fun. He's awesome. Treek is awesome. I leveled up very quickly doing it. I told this story to our guild earlier in the week. I was on Droman Koss and somebody said, I was like 18. I wasn't too over leveled, but about the end of what you are on Droman Koss. And there's the Friends of Old is the heroic four at the end of Droman Koss. And I was there. Somebody was spamming for, well, we need people. They had two people. I joined the group and the guy who was trying to get more people was saying, oh, we need another person. We need another person. And I said, no. Well, I've got Treek. I'll pull out Treek and we'll do it. Well, he didn't even know that Treek could be a tank. He thought Treek would be a healer and he was a Sork and he was going to heal. I said, no, we'll be fine. So we get started. The third guy in the group disconnects. And never comes back. He was having problems. He was disconnecting all night. He never comes back. I'm like, no. We'll be okay. Put your companion away. Let that guy disconnect. I'll get out Treek and we'll see what we can do. We start in on these packs of elites and this heroic four. And it's me and the other guy and Treek. And Treek's basically soloing the groups at level 18. We're blowing through these things. Finally, we're about halfway through the you're clearing out all the mobs down below before you go to the boss. And I'm like, you might as well pull out your companion too, because it's just the three of us right now. And we're blowing through this, but yeah, go ahead and do it. And we'll finish this up quick. So lesson learned, Treek is still awesome.
Even at level 55, I was doing the stage weekly today because I have this project going on that I just talked about where I'm spending basic comms. So I was doing stage weekly and I ran into this guy and we grouped up. And for some reason, his companion or he or somebody aggroed one of the elites while we were killing another group of mobs. And my Treek goes flying over there to help his companion out. And it was just funny because the guy goes, wow, Ewok to the rescue.
Yeah, with the little hang glider. It's an awesome effect too. So,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So still love that. And then also you mentioned our Titan 6 adventure. I think we also had another adventure in there too. We're doing hard mode TFB. We are almost through the operator, but not quite. We're getting shocked by the stupid orbs and people. We're not completely synced on the order. I think we need to kill the orbs first. We're almost through that fight though. We're down. We got into the final phase. We didn't clear it, but Titan 6 was the bigger thing we were working on this week, and we worked on it for a while. We worked on it. We got it down to 5% a couple times. Makia said we did it last week to 5% too. I don't remember that, but he swears that we did. And because he's the ops leader, he said he was swearing off mic. And so he knows how close we got last week too. Anyway, we got to 5% a couple times. And all of us understand at this point that turning up the DPS is where we need to optimize at this point to get through that and beat the enrage timer, which shouldn't be too difficult. We do need to optimize a little bit in a couple places, and we'll talk about that more in our final segment. But I think we can do it. But before we get to that segment, I think we want to talk a little bit about the news. And I thought this week we would just let the Republic News Network deliver our headlines for us.
We appear to have suffered a brief technical fault. Taro, switch the feed.
There we go. Don't worry, guys. We'll take it from here.
Yeah, I was going to say, they don't seem too good at it.
No, they're a little bit broken. And if anybody can remember where that came from in SWTOR, you get bonus points. Anyway, okay. What's the news, Seema?
Well, let's see. I guess there's a little bit going on with space missions where some bugs are introduced, but I guess are now fixed. The big one being the Taspan ambush. No longer get your face smashed into an asteroid unavoidably, which is always a good thing. I can see where that would be frustrating because Taspan ambush is actually one of the first missions you get to that's actually really difficult. And to get randomly killed, just I can see where that would hurt. Do you think, Max, that maybe that kind of a bug might have been introduced because they're working on the super secret space project, maybe?
I thought that could have been, but that's what somebody was saying. I was more thinking it was probably because, you know, asteroid fields and the odds and whatnot.
Sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
You're probably
anyway,
right.
Probably the odds. We also saw this week the PTS got shut down. Minor news item. I'm happy that it got shut down. What that usually means is they're done with testing. They're satisfied where things are going, and they're getting ready to release the content that's currently on the patch server, which would be the Oricon and the Arena patch. Well, the predicted date for that, the announced date, was October 1st, I believe. So if they're shutting down now, they say that they're prepared. They say they're not bringing the PTS back up. It's done for now. Then we've got a pretty good headway, it seems to me, a pretty good runway to get to that next patch by October 1st. So I'm looking forward to that.
I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to it.
And what else we got?
Yes, well, we already went through ops and stuff, but on Tuesday night we did the fourth leg of our the Amazing Race SWTOR style, and it was really a lot of fun. What we did this time around was on the planet Alderaan, we had officers sort of stationed at different places around the planet, and then the contestants, our guildies, had to find us, which seems simple, but it actually was pretty fun because even though we were standing out, you know, in the open, like I was standing in the middle of a roadway, and they had clues how to find us. Alderaan is still a big place, so it was still pretty challenging. So, it was fun. I enjoyed it. And then I also got to play with people as they come running by me because I was this level 55 scoundrel standing on Alderaan doing nothing. And I got a couple of invites to, you know, to help with heroic foremans and stuff. And I'm like, no, man, sorry, can't do it.
I liked it too.
I put on special gear so that I would look, you know, snazzy, but it didn't have, it was completely empty. No mods in it at all. So I'm like, yeah, you probably don't want me in your foreman anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did have some of the costumes on, and that was a little bit of a twist as part of the event. But so I enjoyed that too. I had on the containment gear from the Rakul plague. I had Ilara dressed in a containment set also with the customization, the companion customization for Rakul Plague Infected.
So zombie and Ilara.
Yes, zombie Ilara. And I left that on her. She's still sitting on the ship with zombie Ilara face. And I had my mini Rakul out. So I had the whole deal going. And I did get people asking, you know, what's up? And I got to explain our Amazing Race event, and I had fun too. It is hard for the people running it, and I know it got frustrating at various times for everybody who was doing it. The clues are obscure, and they're explained in haiku form. And we're, you know, we might say, oh, look in this, but we're actually, you know, a little bit across the map from that area or whatever. So it isn't easy, but it was pretty cool. And I think it's something that we can build on in the future.
So next week is our last leg of the Amazing Race. And then we'll be done with this iteration of it. I think we're looking to do more stuff like this, and we really would like to do, you know, something that was for the server in general, not just for the guild. So this run was our, you know, chance to sort of work out the kinks.
A good experiment.
Yeah, we'd like to do a lot more of this kind of stuff.
What else? I think what we've got, the only other thing that we're doing, and I do want to announce this in case anybody on the server is looking for something to do, is we do have a 16 man that we run on Wednesday. The this week it didn't work out too well, but we did invite a couple people out of the server to come join us to try to get through that EC hard mode that we're messing around with. If you are around on the server on Wednesday nights, we usually have at least one or two slots open depending on who can make it and who can't and who's got a work schedule that it gets extended. But we try to pull a couple people in. We use a special event server for it and open it up. We run it pretty tight typically. This week was a little strange because Makia wasn't around and we were starting late. But we do something fun on Wednesday nights. If people are interested in running, let me know or let Seema know or be around when we yell out on the fleet on Wednesday and we'll get some people in.
Right. We get started around 9 Eastern. So if we need people, we'll be in general around that time asking for people. So we do story modes in that group. That's what we're doing right now. And so you don't have to have your gear perfectly outfitted or anyway, just come prepared to have some fun and get through some content.
Awesome. And now we will get into what I mentioned in terms of DPS. And for this, we have cracked open an ancient holocron.
Deep in the ancient, monster-infested tomb of Marka Ragnos, there is a holocron filled with dark secrets and encased in a great stone monument.
Yes, there is. And we have found that holocron, and we have cracked open those dark secrets to bring you this introduction to DPS. Let's take a look.
Shall we?
So, DPS. DPS stands for damage per second. This gets especially important when you start thinking in terms of hard modes and nightmare modes. Damage per second. There needs to be damage that you're doing as DPS each second. So we're going to break this down into three parts. We're going to give an introduction to each of these three parts of what it takes to get into doing DPS. And those three parts are the skill tree, the gear and stats, and the rotation. So I'll talk about the skill tree a little bit. The way skill tree works is each DPS class, each DPS advanced class has 2 or 3 trees that you can choose from to do DPS. Then you need to choose the talents within that tree. Typically, and when you're getting into harder and harder content, there'll be a tree that's preferred by people using that advanced class. For example, for mercenaries right now, Arsenal is the class that tends to put out the most amount of damage. That isn't necessarily the only tree that you can pick. You could pick other trees. Sometimes there's not one that's better than the others. There might be two. Usually there's a preferred one though. Where do you find that tree, which tree is preferred or which talents within that tree are preferred? You can look at the forums. You can look at a site like Noxic.com, N-O-X-X-I-C.com as a base. Noxic, for example, isn't perfect, but it's a useful site for getting a baseline. Reading what people are doing to tweak those types of builds is important. What you want to do is understand each skill choice within the tree and why they're being picked. There are PvP skills versus PvE skills. There's trade-offs on which skills you should be picking and why. There's skills not to take. For example, you don't want skills that are doing weird knockbacks or AoE effects on some of your core abilities, so you're breaking CC. So you need to keep an eye out for those kinds of things. There's also advanced topics like looking at hybrid builds where you're taking parts of 2 different trees. You're not going to the top of any one tree. Those can be challenging and they're usually unique in certain cases. Depending on how the builds or a class is being tweaked, they may or may not be possible within certain advanced classes. You'll need to do extra research if you wanted to get into that. But you want to be clear on what your build is and what your skills are and why those skills are important, because that will get into some of the other things we'll talk about next. So Seema, what do you have for us on gear and stats?
Well, I just want to add to the skill things that when you're leveling up, it works perfectly fine to go to any site, you know, and just pick a build and just mash numbers. You'll level fine doing that. But when you get into start to do ops, you really have a responsibility at that point to understand what each, like you said, what each thing in your skill tree does and how you would use it. But having said that,
absolutely.
I want to talk a little bit about gear. And the way to look at your gear is that, well, I always look at my gear in terms of how it looks first. But luckily in this game, you can get any level of gear inside your gear by putting in the right mods, enhancements, and arm rings and augments. So you can pick your look. You can buy something off the GTN or the cartel market, or you can have it made by a crafter, or you can take what drops in instances. But the important thing is that you look at the gear, that you make an assessment of and do some research and find out which stats you want to have and to what level. When you go to read about stats, most guides will say, you know, you want to stack this, but you want to have this other stat up to 70% and this stat up to 25%. What they're telling you is, you know what, you surge, for instance, is important, but if they say stack it to 75%, they just mean when you get to 75%, don't add any more surge. After that, they're saying it's not going to help you. There's either diminishing returns or it's not as valuable at that point as some other stat. So if you look at a guide and it says, in my case, for instance, since I'm a healer, it might say, you might have a little phrase that says willpower greater than surge, greater than crit, greater than power. And then by surge, it'll have in parentheses and a number, and by crit, it'll have in parentheses and a number. It doesn't mean necessarily that power is the least important stat. It just means that once you get surge to a certain point and crit to a certain point, you would always choose willpower or power. Yeah. And then the last thing I would say is don't go in without augments. You gotta take, I know it's expensive to go out and buy the kits. If you don't have the money to buy the kits and the augments, then you gotta go out there and do your dailies and get the money or appeal to your guildies. You know, a lot of people can make the kits. A lot of people, one of the things they love about crafting in this first place is so that they can make things for people. So take advantage of that and put those augments in there.
So almost every piece of gear, if not every slot, can have an augment slot added to it with an augment kit, including the earpiece and your relics and your implants. And then for most DPS classes, the optimal augment is your main stat augment, not for all. And then there's also the opportunity to use the augments to tweak your balance of your secondary stats, like surge and crit and alacrity and
accuracy.
So yes, accuracy. And we can't forget accuracy. Typically, accuracy for DPS needs to be maximized at 100 and 110%, depending on your split. And that's the top priority. And then your main stat is high priority. And then those secondary stats are the ones you want to balance, as Seema said. So that's a key thing to look at, what the priority of your stats are and what the targets you're trying to get them at before adding more to that particular stat diminishes its value as you add each additional point. Finally, one thing that, so skill tree is relatively well understood. Gear and stats people relatively well understand as well. The final thing that people need to work on, which is a little bit more difficult to understand at times, is rotation. So rotation is understanding what abilities you have and when to use them in order to get that optimal damage per second. Now we're trying to get as much damage as we can for each second that we're in the fight. So there's a few things that we need to look at when doing this. So when you look at your rotation will typically consist of an opener, which means the first few abilities that you're using in order to set up your continuing rotation. And usually in Star Wars, your continuing rotation will be based on a priority of which ability next to use, depending on the conditions that you're involved in the fight. Your opener will be specific to single target damage or for area of effect damage if you got a group of mobs or if you have a single target mob. So if you're on a big boss, you're shooting the boss, that's usually your single target. That's often the best place to work on your rotation. A way to practice your rotation for single target DPS is on a target dummy. An operations, a level 55 operations target dummy is what you want to be practicing on. But you want to practice that opener. Then you want to practice your rotation after your opener. And what your rotation is going to be based on is the priority of abilities that's going to get you the best value of damage for the resources that you're spending. Either you're spending your rage, or you're expending heat as a mercenary, you're creating heat, or you're using up ammo as a trooper. You need your abilities to be lined up to be optimally spending that resource, and you need them to be timed and ordered in order to be consuming other effects that either your talents or effects of other abilities are creating that you're building upon. So for example, as a mercenary, I'll have a proc, an ability that will create a condition that makes my unload ability do 30% more damage. 33% more damage or something close to that. It doesn't make sense for me to use unload if I'm going to have that proc come available soon, because I can get so much more damage out of those resources I'm going to spend on unload. So that's why you're understanding what your rotation is, what things should be proccing in order to optimize that rotation, and responding as you go in order to ensure that you're getting the most optimal ability at each moment in time. There's two other things that you want to... Yeah, go ahead, Seema.
I was just going to say, wouldn't you say that is one of the big advantages and what you learn out of practicing on a test dummy, because you don't want to be in the actual fight and thinking about what your next ability that you want to use is. You want it to be just your natural reaction to the fight.
Yeah, so that's the best place, especially when you're working out random procs on abilities, because you'll get a random proc, and that, you know, if this random condition pops up and you get the random buff for one particular ability you want, then the priority of using that ability goes up. One of the things you can't get off of Operation Dummies is the movement of a fight. And that will change which abilities you're using as well. So I have an ability which gives a timed cast, a cast with a duration of, say, Tracer Missile becomes instant. If I reserve using my ability to make that instant until I have to move, I'm optimizing what I can do while I'm moving. I don't have to stop DPSing while I'm moving because all I have on cooldown is Tracer Missile. So you'll want to look at both of those things, but the rotation on a training dummy is critical. And the people that are really trying to optimize their DPS will even use tricks like combat logging. And this is something you can look up: combat logging on a operations dummy, and then taking that log afterwards. And you can look up how to do this, and parsing, either using a site or a tool to parse that combat log to see exactly how much damage per second that you're getting going off of your rotation. And that's how you can optimize your rotation.
Right. You can try different things. And you can say, when I do it in this order and this way, it results in this much damage, but this other way results in more damage.
Right. Yeah, this opener gets me slightly more damage. I get up to, I'll go over 3,000 damage per second, or I'm at 2,800 damage per second. These are the kind of numbers you're looking for when you're getting up to higher level content. Finally, there's one other consideration that I wanted to bring up that a lot of people aren't aware of, and preferences. It's called the action queue window. So the action queue window isn't actually a window on the screen. It's a window of time that you're allowed to press a button for your next action and have it ready queued up so that it casts immediately when your current action is done. So if you set that to 0.5 seconds, that means 0.5 seconds before you should be able to cast that ability, you can press the button and it will be ready to go, and it'll cast immediately after the current ability is done casting. One of the best practices is between 0.5 and 1 second to have that window of casting time to turn that on. And then for a mercenary, for example, Tracer Missile takes a couple seconds to cast. I can cast Tracer Missile, it's 1.4 seconds or 1.5 seconds. And when I still have a second to go on that cast, I can cast the next tracer missile, or I can press my button for unload. And as soon as the tracer missile is done, it's already casting in game and I don't need to worry about it. I'm getting that overlap of time optimized. So turn that on, get used to using that, get used to overlapping your abilities. There's some tricks. Don't use it on channeled abilities because you'll cancel your channeled ability. Take a look and experiment with that a little bit, but that's a way to eke out and get a couple extra seconds of DPS out of a minute of fight, which makes a difference when you're talking about 3,000 damage per second. If you're getting an extra 3 seconds, you're getting 9,000-10,000 damage. I think when we wiped on Titan 6, we were at 40, what, we were at 40 or 70K health left.
Yep.
If everybody had an extra couple seconds of DPS throughout that 10-minute fight, we would have had him down.
Right.
So
even then we might have, except for he raged and started pretty much killing us.
Yes, Yanks You End was into the fire, and don't stand in the fire. We all know that too. Yeah, so I guess that's a final point of wrap up is stay alive. You can't DPS when you're dead either. So stay alive.
Yeah, it's a juggling act, isn't it? Because you want to walk that line where you're taking and standing in just the exact risky amount of, you know, right amount of riskiness that you're going to optimize your DPS, but with enough survival mindedness that you're not going to die.
Yep, exactly. Well, I think our little EPC-05 droid here is filled up and we are ready to go. Thanks for tuning in. For feedback, comments, or questions for future casts, we can be found on Twitter at MaxTheGray and at AIESEMA. Or come play with us on Jedi Covenant. If you've got any questions about this week's cast or follow-up discussion on our discussion about DPS, feel free to shoot us comments there or on our site. For AIE Guild information, you can visit aie-guild.org and submit an application and come play with us, or find us on Facebook at AIE SWOTOR. And we will talk to you soon.
Till next time.